And this is our vision.
The church in Regent Park, to create an inclusive, just, and loving community which transforms lives and heals brokenness by loving like Jesus. And how we're going to get there, our mission is, the next slide, to lead others to a life-changing relationship with Jesus by serving them at their place of need. And it's important to meet physical needs. It's important to provide a meal. Just based on the people that come out, we serve 400 people tonight. It's a need in our neighborhood. But we also want to give a place for people to come and to worship and to grow in their faith. And so that's what we're all about, is meeting people at their place of need. And we were working through our core values, and you'll get to know them all. 2 weeks ago, we looked at grace, loving without exception. That we love everyone regardless of where they're from or what their past is like or what they smell like or what they've been through. That we love everyone because that's what Jesus would have us to do. And we looked at Nicodemus and how Jesus met him. And just by calling out his name, his life was forever changed. The second value that our church epitomizes is encouragement. Putting courage into others, creating hope in others, so that we can put hope into others and encourage them, even though they've been through difficultness, even though they face some challenges, that's what our church is all about. And tonight we're going to look at authenticity. And we define that by being genuine, by being real. Are you looking for a church that's real? Where people are real, where people share that they've been through challenges, but God has helped them through. Where people say, you know what, I'm not having a great day, and I'm okay because my church is here to support me, and that's why I came to church, because I need people to have my back and to hold me up. Authenticity is the quality of being real or being true. How many people know that kids have this authenticity down? Lots of times they're very honest, brutally honest. I remember one time we got a phone call from Damon's school, and they invited us to come into the office, and they sat us down and they said, well, we need you to talk to your son. You see, he was telling his classmates in his grade one class that Santa Claus isn't real. So we want you to talk to him. And at that point, we're like, well, he's not real. But I guess, yeah, he shouldn't be ruining it for everyone else. But Damon's real. He just was authentic. Remember another instance when we had moved from Malvern, pastoring there, to our first Sunday in Lindsay. We were invited up on stage, and they were introducing us. And we introduced Damon. He said, hi, my name is Damon, 8 years old, and hi, my name is Kyla, and I'm 5 years old, and Ashton was probably not speaking too much, and he said, Ashton is 4 years old, and then Kyla grabbed the mic, and she said, and this is my mom, Kim, and she's 37 years old. Thankfully, she didn't, like, give out my age, because I've yet to turn 37, but it's coming up. It's just on the horizon. Okay, I need to be real. I'm older than 37. 40-ish. But sometimes we have met people and we wish they were authentic. We wish they were real. We wish they weren't hiding things from us. Or maybe you've been hurt by someone who led you astray or wasn't completely honest. And we want to be a church that values honesty. We want to be a church where people are genuine and real, and where people feel welcome, where people feel that they can come because they're not going to be judged, they're not going to be looked down upon, that they're going to be able to come here and be loved like Jesus were in the room right now. National Geographic had a recent article on the greatest liars in history. The greatest liars in history. Number 6 on their list was Charles Dawson and Arthur Smith Woodward. And what their lie was that they were looking for the missing link. They were looking for that
that ape-like human, that connected apes to human, and they couldn't find it anywhere, and so they invented it. They painted some orangutan bones, and they introduced it to the world, and for a time, they thought they had found. I can't remember where they're from. I think it's called the Pilsen Man. Until it came out.
Piltdown.
Okay. In England. Until they were exposed as frauds. The fifth is P.T. Barnum. Sorry, Greatest Showman fans. That some of those things in his show were not legitimate. And he was exposed as telling lies and exaggerating. Fourth was Charles Ponzi, who invented the Ponzi scheme, where he would take the money from his first investors, and then he would gather more money, and he would always be taking people's money, investing it, and then giving it to the initial people, and all along the way, people were losing money and getting ripped off. Third was Anna Anderson, who said she was the daughter of Nicholas II of Russia, until it was proved to be false. Secondly was the 1919 White Sox, who took $100,000 to throw the World Series until it was found out. And lastly, any guesses as to the greatest liar in history besides Satan?
Yeah.
Satan was on the list, guys. But you're right. Richard Nixon. I am not a crook. Well, actually, he was a crook. That he sent five guys into the Democratic National offices, and they rooted through, and they did some stealing and some espionage, and eventually he's found out. Now, those people tried to cover up. They tried to keep their sins and lies a secret. And because they weren't real, because they weren't honest, history remembers them. Because of that. When we're not real, when we're dishonest with people, people don't have a lot of respect for us. And that's what we see in Scripture with Jesus. His strongest words, some of the strongest words in Scripture, are Jesus criticizing the Pharisees. A lot of times we focus on Jesus in a loving way and compassion. But there were some moments where he stood up for injustice, where he stood up for the marginalized, where he took a stand against evil. And often that required him butting heads with the Pharisees who were trying to control people, trying to tell people what to do, trying to put a finger on other people and ignore their own sin in their life. Matthew 23, Jesus talks about the importance of being authentic and about being real. Starting at verse 1, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach what they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long." I'm going to explain what those are, don't worry. "And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. But you are not called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted." That word Pharisee, it means separated ones. And they wanted to separate themselves and be put on a pedestal by everyone else. They were very narcissistic. They wanted everyone to pat them on the back and see how great they were. And that was something that just bothered Jesus so much. There was likely around 6,000 of them. And they likely did have a seat in the temple. That archaeologist tells us that the temple, they had a seat. And they would often sit on there and then they would teach the people. That they were religious leaders, they were teachers, some of them were rabbis, and they would sit on this throne. and that they would teach. But Jesus' problem was what they would teach, they wouldn't live up to themselves. They wouldn't follow their own teaching. And here they would sit on this throne, and they would tell people what to do, but they weren't real. They weren't genuine. They just were telling people that they weren't willing to follow their own rules. They were pretenders. They preached what they did not practice. They lacked authenticity. Jesus says that they put a heavy burden of others. They said, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do that, but yet they weren't willing to lift a finger themselves. They called others to a high standard, but they themselves didn't measure up. And so Jesus has an issue with them pretending to be spiritual, pretending of them to be following God, but really, they weren't doing much. Secondly, they were show-offs. Verse 5 says all of their deeds that they did was to be seen by others. Jesus says that they take their phylacteries and they would be very big, they would be broad. And so what these phylacteries are, maybe if you've seen some Orthodox Jews around Toronto, you wonder why they have long curly hair at the front, why they have boxes on their body. And basically, they're taking Scripture very literally from the Old Testament. Exodus 13:9 says, take the word, it'll be a sign on your hand and a memorial between your eyes. And so they would have this little box between on their head and on their hand. And they would have these Scriptures, four Scriptures in this box, because they see the Scripture and they did exactly what they said. Many of us would say, well, Jesus is God was figuratively saying that you should have it in your heart and you should have it close to hand. You should have it on your mind. But they took the word by word and they said, okay, we're going to create these little boxes. We're going to have them on our mind. We're going to have them on our hand. But they didn't want just normal sized boxes. They needed to have broad boxes. They needed to have boxes that were bigger than everyone else's, so that when they were wearing it, it was like, yo, you see my phylactery? See how broad it is? You don't see how spiritual I am? The Old Testament also encouraged people to have tassels on their outfits. And Numbers 15:37-41 says, put fringes on your garments so that when you looked on them, it would remember to obey God's commands. And so people of Israel, they would have fringes on their garments. Well, yes, you had to have the longest fringes and the biggest fringes. Well, my fringes are bigger than your fringes. Look how spiritual I am. Check out my broad phylacteries. Look how spiritual I am. They were show-offs. They were showing off to others. They don't really care about being a good representative of God and leading other people to God. They wanted all the attention on themselves. Today, that's why many of the prayer shawls that Jews wear have tassels and have fringes. Pharisees were pretenders. They were show-offs. And lastly, they sought attention. Verse 6 says that they loved the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues. And they loved being called rabbis by others. When they went to a banquet, when they went to a feast, when they went to a special function, they had to be sitting beside the host so that everyone looked at them. They had to have the seat at the head table all the time so that people had their eyes on them. They wanted people to refer to them as rabbi, as teacher, because they wanted the attention. And Jesus talks about this idea of being called rabbi. And they said, don't let them call you rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. Say that there was a competition to see who could be called rabbi over another. And Jesus says, no, you have one teacher, and I'm it. You guys are all on the same level. We're all serving God together. God the Father has sent me to teach you. And I'm the teacher, and I'm teaching you in humility. You don't have to have a competition as to what teacher is the best, or who has the most students, or who has the smartest students. Jesus is a great one. That's what rabbi means. He continues on and he says, you have no father on earth, you have a father in heaven. It's true, we have a biological father, but the rabbis used to say, you know what? Your biological father gave you birth, but if you follow me as your teacher, as your earthly father, that you will live on into eternity. That what I give you will give you eternal things that you will carry on into eternity. So as your teacher, as your rabbi, that I am more important than your father. That's why Jesus comes along and says, no. I am representing God. I have come to earth as the Messiah, the chosen one. I am the great one, the rabbi that's going to teach you and lead you into all truth. And you have one father who is in heaven. Don't make a competition about which rabbi is better than another. Jesus' words get stronger as chapter 23 goes on. You can check it out and read it when you get home. There's lots of moments when I read Scripture and say, well, I wish I was there for that. I wish I was there for that miracle. I wish I was there for that. But can you imagine Jesus with all these smug Pharisees with their broad phylacteries and their long tassels standing there with their arms crossed? And Jesus saying, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You're white on the outside, but you're dead inside. You're willing to take someone all around the world to make them twice the child of hell that you are. Jesus has some strong words for them. And why is that? Because they're fakes. They're phonies. They're not genuine. I mean, when you take it a little farther, they're leading people away from God. I mean, they're pretending that they're leading people towards God, but they're putting heavy burdens on people. They're practicing things that they're not willing to preach. And Jesus has such an issue with it. He has such a problem with it that without sinning, that in holiness and purity, he's standing up and saying, don't follow these guys. They're not real. They're not authentic. He's exposing them. And even after they refuse to listen to Jesus' teaching over and over and over again, Jesus gets to the point, he says, you know what? I can't hold back anymore. I care about my people too much. I want people to understand what God is really like. And why does Jesus have such an issue with them? Well, they were pretending to speak for God. And God doesn't like to be misrepresented. They were using their religion to attract attention to themselves and not glorify God. Secondly, Jesus is upset because they're pretending to be spiritual. They're turning a relationship with Jesus into a system of rules, into just a religion. And you may hear it, and I hope you hear it more, is that Christianity isn't a religion. It's not a set of rules that we have to follow. It's a relationship with Jesus. And when someone says, I hear you're very religious, I say, I'm not very religious. I have a relationship with Jesus. Because rules and religion and rituals, if they don't glorify God, if they don't bring attention to God, then they're just a set of things that don't matter too much. Jesus is interested in our relationship with Him. And they were pretending to be spiritual. They wouldn't live out their own rules. They wouldn't practice what they preach. Now, if you take that a step further, what happens? Well, people began to watch the Pharisees. People began to see them separate themselves. People began to take notice and say, you know, I don't really want to be a part of a faith that treats people that they do. I don't want to be a people follow them when they're fakes, when they're phonies. But there's a lack of authenticity, and everyone is watching them and doesn't want to join their group. So there's a lack of authenticity. And secondly, there's a lack of genuineness. When they're willing to ask other people to do things that they're not wanting to do, then people are getting standoffish. And people don't want to have anything to do with them. And don't want to follow a God that they think they're representing. And that is why being real, that is why being genuine is so important. That is what Jesus was trying to get the Pharisees to understand. That it's not about making yourself feel good. It's not about bringing attention to yourself. But that when we give our lives to following Jesus, we allow Him to bring other people closer to God. That's what it's all about. The Pharisees got it wrong. Jesus wasn't trying to be mean. Jesus wasn't trying to be harsh. But there comes a point where people aren't getting it. And they're misrepresenting God, and He just had to let them give them the straight truth. Jesus was authentic. Jesus was real. Jesus was trying to level with them that they need to get it right. Jesus added humanity to His divinity and came from heaven. Yeah, so Jesus was God in the flesh? Sure. Yeah. Right. When I was preparing, I came across a powerful story. And one of the beautiful things about our church is that we do have people that have overcome addiction. People that have made some mistakes. People that have maybe done some time. People have had their lives radically turned around because of Jesus. And I came across this story about John Hamm. He's a famous actor. He was a star of Mad Men. He's been in some Skip the Dishes commercials, which I love so much. But he said this about his battle with alcoholism in InStyle magazine. He said, 2 years ago, Hamm did a stint in rehab for alcohol addiction. Now, although he prefers to keep the specifics to himself, he's outspoken about the benefits of therapy. He said, medical attention is medical attention, whether it's for your elbow or for your teeth or for your brain. And it's important. He says, we live in a world where to admit anything negative about yourself is seen as a weakness, when it's actually a strength. It's not a weak move to say, I need help. In the long run, it's way better because you have to fix it. And that's one of the things we value, that we can admit that we need to get stronger. We can admit that we have overcome a difficult couple of years. We can admit and accept people that are saying, you know what, I haven't got it all figured out yet, but I want to make some changes. I want to give my life to Christ and allow Him to rearrange some things. I want to give my life to Christ and allow Him to set me free. That I'm getting better at my mental health. I'm getting better at overcoming this addiction. I may not be there yet, but I want some people to surround me and be with me as I seek to be the people that God has called me to be. Now, you never hear a Pharisee admit that they were wrong. You never hear a Pharisee admit that they had trouble following the law because they were so focused on what people thought of them and bringing attention to themselves. But Jesus wants us to be authentic, and He wants us to be real. Just one more example of this truth came from Wall Street Journal. It says there's a new fad among top-level business executives. It's called humility. In an article called The Case for Humble Executives, it explores the business benefits of this once unpopular leadership virtue. The article says, among executives, humility is the flavor du jour. That's French. It means flavor of today. Am I right, Charlotte? Jean Martin? Is my French accurate? Okay. Fred Hassan, a former CEO of Sharing Plow Corporation and author of a book on leadership, he said, companies increasingly prize humble leaders because they listen well, they admit mistakes, and they share the limelight. Recruiters and coaches say the servant leadership model promotes collaboration. This is coming from Scripture, yes, but this is actually from the Wall Street Journal saying humility is refreshing. Being real, admitting that you make mistakes, admitting that you can't do it alone is what businesses are now looking for because they see the value in it, how valuable it is to help lead others. We're just going to conclude by looking at verse 11. Jesus speaking about Pharisees and saying they're show-offs, they're pretenders, they're attention seekers. Don't be like them. Instead, be real. This is what a real leader is like. He says in verse 11, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be